All right, let's get started then, and we'll get back to how much the NFL sucks. So welcome, folks, to, you know, I've already forgotten the year. Year 8, Dan?
Yes.
Year 8 of Take the Points College Football Podcast. It's very good to be back. For those of you who may be new listeners, we are a college football podcast focusing on lines and gambling and also a bunch of nonsense. I've tried to think of a way to describe the show, and it's basically just a bunch of bullshit about our high school days and pop culture thoughts, and then occasionally we make an actual pick that comes true. Actually, we make a lot of very good picks. They're just scattered in between a lot of nonsense.
Yeah, I explained it at work to a coworker. I said it's 65% college football gambling, it's 35% bullshit, and it's 10% inside jokes that no one else will get unless they grew up with us.
I like that. I think that adds up to 110% if I did the math right.
We only go 110%, Tom.
Bare minimum. All right, so I'm Tom Zalesnok. I'm here in Connecticut, and I'm here with my two co-hosts via the new and improved Skype, meaning new and improved as in it actually works this year. Mm-hmm. So Dan Partridge and Ryan Spillett, say hello, guys.
Hello, Tom. Good to see you.
Good to be back.
All right, we're going to start with you, Dan, because you're the originator of the podcast. You've been here since the start. Ryan's a newcomer, only been here for 7 years. Dan, college football's mm-hmm. back.
Thanks, Tom. Very excited for this season. How could you not be? You got Trevor Lawrence looking like Peyton Manning. You got Tua going number one in the draft for sure. Georgia just keeps looking in the mirror every day when they wake up going, what the hell happened? You got Ohio State magically with the five-star quarterback. You got a rejuvenated Nebraska squad everyone loves. You got Lane tweeting pictures of supermodels again in Florida. Let's see what else we got going on. We got Les Miles dropping quotable stuff in Kansas. We got what else? We got USC looking to be maybe the worst team in 10 years in USC, which I'm really going to enjoy this year. And outside of that, we have an unpredictable college football year like we always do. And that's what makes it the best sport of all. 125-30 teams involved. Crazy stuff every year. Stuff that you never think is possible. Stuff that happens so crazy and often that we even take it for granted and forget about it. How about the Auburn-Alabama final play of the game where they kicked a field goal and ran it back 109 yards? Did that actually happen? Like, is that real life? Because if that happens in a movie, no one would ever believe it. So just overall, super psyched for the year. Glad to be back. And also, week zero last week was fantastic. That just shows you how good college football is. They decided to add an extra week before the year. Both games were great. Everyone loved it on Twitter. High ratings for both games. Super fun. Hats off to college football, keeping it real as always. True G's.
Yeah, I was skeptical of the week zero appetizer games, but as soon as they came on, I had tempered my expectations, thinking like, yeah, I'll watch, but I'm not getting excited for college football until the real week one. And at 6:30, half an hour before the Florida Miami kickoff, I was 100% fully invested and in it. So it was great, and they should do that every year. And that was the perfect level of game. So you're not having like a true marquee matchup, but it's a rivalry and it's one that everyone's going to care about. And apparently it got the best rating on ESPN in like 3 years.
3 years,
which is crazy because they have the playoff games.
Yeah.
Ryan, welcome to the show, 2019. One thing, we'll go over a lot this year, but you're the coach of the show. And it's an exciting year for coaches. Good coaches, as well as coaches we enjoy for other reasons. So what are you looking forward to?
I am really looking forward to the return of the Mad Hatter. It is so awesome to have Les Miles back in our lives in a real conference, not coaching at the Mountain West or something. That's really exciting. I'm excited to see which coaches get I don't want to say fired because I don't want to see coaches get fired, but I'm interested to see who's on the hottest seat the earliest and what's going to kind of happen with that. That starts always starts the dominoes, which is really fun to watch. So excited about that. And Nick Saban in pissed off revenge mode is pretty awesome. And Gus Malzahn has a great defense. He's calling plays. He's kind of back in the mix. So excited. Mark Richt is out of our lives. That is great.
Oh, see, that's where you're wrong, because I just saw him on the CBS Sports show.
Oh, he'll be on some pregame shit. That was a lock. But at least he's not coaching and starting 6-0 and finishing 2-3. It just sucks.
There's no squad I feel better or group of fans than Georgia's team and fans. They went from the Richt purgatory for what, 15 years, to now they're like on the verge of a national championship, like so close they can taste it. And really nothing changed except the coach.
Pretty much. That's about it. And sometimes that's all it takes. We got Mac Brown back in our lives too, trying to bring some relevance to North Carolina football in Chapel Hill. That should be exciting to see too.
Good call. Good call.
Mac is back. Mr. Holgerson going down to Houston is going to be very, very exciting, which I'm sure we'll talk about later.
Oh, yes. I was saving that because I know Dan's got some thoughts on Houston.
Very, a lot.
All right, we'll get to that later. I do have to say about the craziness. There was a Twitter, I guess, thread or thing. Usually I'm not a big fan of when somebody says something dumb on Twitter and everyone tries to, like, pile on. But in this case, somebody said, oh, Andrew Luck is, like, the craziest story of the last 10 years. And there were 8,000 corrections, and I got to say, like, 90% of them were about college football, and it was the greatest trip down memory lane. People are like, you know, the kick six, of course, but they're like, yeah, a player had a fake girlfriend who died before a game.
Yep, that happened.
That game, Alabama-Notre Dame 2012 alone, had three moments that were all better than the Andrew Luck thing, between Manti Te'o and the biggest blowout and Notre Dame getting destroyed, and then, of course, Mr. Musburger, who is he's a friend of the gambling community, so we don't have to bring that one up.
Oh, so good.
All right. There's a lot to get to, and I think the best thing to do, Dan, you said it's all business this week, so why don't we just get right into our week one preview, and then later on we'll do some future picks and season previews. So where do we want to start?
We should start on Thursday night. We got a lot of action Thursday. We're going to start with the defending national champions. Clemson hosts Georgia Tech. It's a new Georgia Tech squad. Clemson land a light 37. If you shop around Vegas, you might be able to get it at 36 and a half. It's a sexy number. So anyway, lay it with Clemson. This is going to be a national championship party. You can never take the opposition. Trev Lawrence, 5 touchdowns in the first half, something like that. It'll be a fun show. Go Tigers.
Agreed.
I'm with you. I think Clemson is one of the most intriguing teams to me this year, not because they won the national championship, but because they lost so much, and especially on defense, I think 7 guys or something like that. And so I'm curious to hear what you guys think about Clemson for the season preview. And this game, I agree. I think the offense is just going to light it up, and they're going to lean on Lawrence and Etienne and Ross and all those guys and just put up big numbers. And it's going to take a while, I think, for the defense to catch up to where they were last year, if they can ever get there. And something's dinging.
That'd be Jesus Malverde, the unofficial fourth host, who's just checking in, wishing us good luck on the podcast live on air.
All right, so I'm very interested in Clemson, but for this game, with the changes at Georgia Tech and the offensive firepower hopefully picking up where they left off, I do think Clemson is probably the pick here.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds good to me. And, we're going to pick a game close to home. This is Ryan's expertise here. We have Kent State, the powerhouse program. They are traveling here to Tempe to play Arizona State. Herm and his squad are laying 25 points with a total of 62. It's going to be about 109 degrees for Kent State. That's going to be a problem. Ryan, can you talk about Herm a little bit, or the heat, or Herm and the Heat, or even better, how Herm would handle the Heat, would maybe just, you know, encapsulate all of this. I don't know, something like that.
Well, thanks, Dan.
You got it.
Herm is already in full Herm mode. One thing that people need to know is that Herm has a new associate head coach slash advisor. That would be Mr. Marvin Lewis of Cincinnati Bengals failures.
It was meant to be.
It was so meant to be. Herm had to take the team up north for a bit of a training camp. It was only about 95 up there, so it was a little lot cooler for them for training. But apparently Herm was a big fan of the long sleeve shirts every day at practice. So he's still looking slim, looking sharp, talking only in cliches. Absolutely love it. And no one talks in cliche better than Herm. So really excited to see this new season with him and see what they got going on. And I would lay the 25 with Arizona State in this game. And that 62 is just pretty much dead on. So I'd stay away from the total on that, but definitely this lay the 25 is just way too hot. Kent State's going to melt in the second half.
So I will not be making a pick for any Arizona team this week. However, I do want to talk about our newest segment. Of course, we had Herm Watch last year. This year, it is the Arizona Desert Meltdown. Would you like to explain what this is?
Ah, thank you. The Desert Meltdown is there are three football teams in the state of Arizona, with the Cardinals, the Arizona Wildcats, and the Sun Devils. Don't you be talking about devils around me. So between those three not good teams, there's going to be about 40 football games this year. So we're taking over-under bets on how many wins the state of Arizona football will be getting this year. I am putting the number at about 24.5 to start the year. And we're going to keep track and see how many wins the state can get out of 40.
I think we also need to measure the number of individual or team meltdown moments, or, you know, total collapse to mild meltdown. But, you know, who has the most flubs or catastrophes or gaffes or whatever? However you want to measure that, I think that's something we'll come up with by next week's show. But it needs to be a competition. I mean, Sumlin, Herm, Cliff. Yeah, it's a real murderer's row. And I've made this prediction. I guess we'll jump ahead a little, but you know what? I'm going to save this prediction for later. But there might be some other Arizona meltdowns not involving one of the Arizona teams, and we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Okay, I like it. Good teaser.
All right, what's next, Danny?
We're going to a really great game on Thursday night. Utah at BYU. This is great. This is really, really good for a bunch of reasons. You know what? I'll go last if you guys don't mind.
This is all Ryan, 100%.
Ryan, go right ahead. Yeah, he's a big Utah fan. He's a LDS, so go ahead. Okay.
We got ourselves a great Mormon Thursday, and excited about this matchup. Utah-BYU, always fun. In-state games are always super exciting in college football. And you never really know with these teams which 24-year-old sophomore is coming back from Peru and looking sharp in training camp. So which quarterback redshirted for 3 years and is finally eligible? Like, we don't know. It's really exciting. So I'm interested to see BYU. They were the nemesis of our gambling last year. I don't think we picked a BYU game right.
So. Because we made fun of them week one, and what the hell just happened? Again, we're screwed, but continue.
So this year, we're going to make amends. I'm going to watch them Thursday. I'm going to put on a nice white, clean white shirt and a tie. I'm going to look real sharp, and I'm going to see what we have to offer this year. But most importantly, Utah. Excited about Utah. They are a big-time sleeper team for me. They have been getting a lot of love in the media ranks, so it's a little bit upsetting to me because they were definitely way, way high on my list. We'll get back into them later. But I love Utah in this. Rivalry games, anything under a touchdown is worth looking at. Six is a really tough number, but that over under 40.5 is looking super NFL, and I still think we're going to take the under regardless of how low that number is. So I like the under and a slight lean to Utah.
So I'm living my life this year by the motto of life's too short to take the under, especially at a 41. So unless it's a real, seems like an easy one, I'm avoiding it. I'm with you 100% on Utah. I would like to share a conversation that we had a few weeks ago when we were talking about BYU football in late July for some apparent reason. That's how you know the hosts of this show are legitimate. We have text message conversations about BYU football in like July 29th. But one of you asked me if Tanner Mangum was still on the team, and we legitimately had no idea. Even though he's been playing for 9 years, we're like, I think it's 50-50. Better look that up. And he's not. He's in some other, you know, XFL or CFL or something like that. But we said there is a sophomore taking over this year. And Ryan, you said, okay, so he's only 23?
Yep.
I think that sums it up. Anyway, I'm watching this game. Crack open a Coke Zero, turn the game on, and enjoy. But, you know, I'll wait a week to really see how much I'm going to bet on Utah going forward.
This is a really great game. Like I said, BYU last year, I got wrong every week. Regardless of side, I could pick it out of a hat. I could do analysis, no analysis. It didn't matter. But I did pay attention in their bowl game. Before their bowl game, they asked their head coach how they thought their freshman quarterback would do in the game. And they said his answer was, I feel like he's going to have a perfect game. And he did. He didn't throw any completion. It was crazy. I know it was Western Michigan, but it was really great. He's back. They're at home. Utah's really, really good, too. I don't think you want to go near the point spread on this. I think it's right on at 6. I actually am going to lean the over in this one. This is going to be one of the few kind of like really nice warm weather games in Utah that you have the whole year. Both offenses are capable with quarterbacks. So if nothing else, you have two quarterbacks who are capable in very good weather. So college 48.5 is just really tough to keep down. Even though it's opened at 57.5 and it's now 48.5, I think it's time to buy it back. So I like the over in that game, and that's all.
All right. What's next?
Tom, this is your pick. You get to go first. Wagner at UConn, 17.5.
Who's favored?
Okay, first of all, in sports betting, if I say two teams and the point spread 17.5 with football,
it's never been UConn on the plus side ever.
Or you know, on the positive side. It should never be who's favored. That means you know nothing possible. However, this is the only rare exception, maybe, in like this is one in 100,000. UConn's favored by 17.5 against Wagner.
That's what I'm saying. Like this, obviously, I'm being facetious. Living just down the road from the great Rentschler Field and the Cabela's that's in the parking lot of Rentschler Field, which gets an equal amount of traffic. I know all about these point spreads, and as an avid reader of the Hartford Current Sports section, you know, I'm well versed in. So there's a Hartford Current article today. We talked last season at length, so I won't rehash all this, but they really have to really, really try hard to make UConn sound favorable or interesting as local sports writers. So today there was one that said, like, one strong year of high school was all it took for Randy Edsall to recruit this new quarterback.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So UConn is UConn. I was present in person a few years ago, as I've said many times, for the UConn-Villanova 19-16 last second win. So I will not be laying 17 or 18 points with UConn ever at any point in my life. I don't know anything about Wagner. I'd be tempted to put $5 on them anyway, but for sure, no UConn. Dan, you're an alum, so you've got to weigh in.
That's the pick of the year already. You just summed it up because you can't lay 17.5. I don't care if they're playing Chandler Prep. Well, Chandler Prep Well, no, that'd be like it'd probably be a pick 'em.
Yeah.
But like if they play like our like West Genesee where we grew up, I mean seriously, Tom, you were correct. Can never lay any points with UConn under any circumstances against any team ever.
If you're a new listener to Take the Points, go back. At the end of last season, I did a UConn supercut from 2018 where I just took, you know, our 2-minute segment on UConn on every game and stitched it together into like a 30-minute, what I would call humbly a masterpiece. And you really get to, I re-listened to it recently to get in UConn fever, you know, to decide if I wanted to go to a game this year. Not to decide, but to like remind myself why I won't be duped into going to a game. And you can kind of like feel the progression. We actually picked them to win a couple games, which was funny in hindsight. UConn is, there's no reason to believe they'll be any better than last year. I mean, there really is nowhere to go but up, so they'll probably get better, and the schedule's a little bit easier. This is their only like true, for sure winnable game. So you would think they have to win this one, and then we'll give a little taste of a futures pick, but the over-under for UConn wins is 2.5, and that's a really tough one because it's Wagner. I think they have UMass, and then they have like Rhode Island or something. So it's like, it's very, very tricky. But the point is, stay away from UConn starting now and for the rest of the year.
Well said, Tom.
Edsel, when we talk about coaches on the hot seat, Edsel, I mean, I know it's UConn, but like, you can do better, you know?
Yeah.
All three of us are more qualified than Randy Edsel at this point. I mean, I'm not. All right, moving on.
Dan, they went to a Fiesta Bowl in this decade.
That did not happen. Unless you take a look at the Take the Points Hall of Fame, where the VHS for the Fiesta Bowl is stored due to Tom's inaugural selection of that footage, which I went back and listened to because I'm a total egomaniac, I guess, but I wanted to hear our Hall of Fame picks, so I went back and listened to who we inducted. I laughed very hard at some of the picks. Excellent job, Tom, in putting that videotape in there for future analysis.
All right, this is too much UConn talk. Do not lay the points.
Moving on to Saturday. Wisconsin at South Florida. Wisconsin's laying 12.5, total of 57.5. I know nothing about the Big Ten, nor Charlie Strong at this point. Does anybody have anything to throw me?
I have a lot for Wisconsin. I'm the Big Ten guy, I suppose, so I'll take this first. I don't know anything about I know a lot about Charlie Strong, but I don't know anything about them this year. But here's what I know about Wisconsin. Alex Hornibrook, who started for 2 years, just transferred to Florida State and lost out the starting job to Justin Blackman, the quarterback of the worst Florida State team in modern history. So that shows you what kind of situation they were saddled with for the last 2 years. The freshman coming in who's going to start, now he's a freshman, so I wouldn't expect a ton in this first game, but he's been called the best Wisconsin quarterback since Russell Wilson. So I think that they have a lot to look forward to. I like Paul Christ as a coach, but it's going to take some time. So sloppy game. I'd probably stay away from this one.
Okay, moving on. Rivalry game, yearly pick, Colorado State at Colorado. This used to be like one of the first games of the year, and we like had to wager on it, but now it's not. So you can skip this game if you want. I'll take the points, as always, with the underdog. In this game, you get 13 with Colorado State, but zero read whatsoever.
No team, you talk about BYU and your being your gambling nemesis. No team has hurt me worse than Colorado State over the last few years. I've probably lost more money on them than any other team, which is weird because they're just, it's Colorado State. Like, why am I betting so often on them? But no, I'm done with them. They're on a 5-year probation.
Okay, excellent. Just a couple other randos out there. Let's scroll down. Here we go. Ole Miss at Memphis. We got Memphis laying 5.5 with a total of 68, Ryan, would you like to talk about this? It's the first I've looked at this line, by the way.
Oh, I'm excited. I am fired up for Memphis football this year, Tom. We're going to make some goddamn money on Memphis football this year. Anytime you see a six, take that bitch over. They're going to put up like 50 a game. They're just going to keep scoring. And I love what they do. Their new offensive coordinator, what was he, the quarterbacks coach at Alabama?
Oh, yeah.
Is the new offensive coordinator at Memphis. So I'm excited to see what he does with the second-year quarterback. So really excited for Memphis. I will lay that 5.5 all day long, and I'm super excited to take it over at 68. You're going to see all 70s and maybe even some 80s with Memphis this year. I think that Memphis-Houston game is going to start to have 135 points in that game. So really excited for Memphis. Ole Miss is not ready yet, so excited.
That's good enough for me.
Ole Miss couldn't stop anybody last year. Was I the only one who saw them give up 50 to every team? I mean, I know they were playing SEC, but this isn't old school Ole Miss trying to win 17-12. This is outscoring. Ryan said it in an interesting manner. If you see a six for the total, I would advise betting the over in the point total. So over would be the play for me in this game.
I mean, if you've learned anything from college football from the last 5 or 10 years, it's like just always take the over when in doubt.
Totally agree. Okay, now we're going to the Battle of the Carolinas. South travels to North. South is laying 10, total of 63.5. First game for Mac Brown as head coach. South Carolina is not any good. Their over-under wins total this year, I think it's only 6.5 or 7.5. It's one of the two. I'm going to take Mac Brown in the 10 points because we love the Texas Longhorns. Just out of respect for Mac, this is worth a small bet. No analysis needed, just based on coaching. Take Mac Brown. You guys, I'm sure you'll go ahead.
It's a rivalry game. It's the first of the season. We've seen this before. Something crazy will happen. It'll be close, so take the points. South Carolina, by the way, hardest schedule in the entire country. So I think they would probably eke this out because they really need it because they just have a murderer's row coming up. I mean, they don't need it because it's South Carolina and they're going to be in, like, the Belk Bowl, but you know what I'm saying.
6-6 coming right up.
But Muschamp's seat is getting a little hot. It's getting a little bit hot down there. He's got to do something in the SEC East. He's had time. They've seen Kirby Smart do the turnaround. They saw it now with Florida has made the complete turnaround. They're back, you know, looking pretty sharp, getting top 10, you know, top 5 recruits. So he needs to step up or they're going to ship him out of there pretty quick.
All right, move along.
All right, yes, I forgot I'm leading this week. Duke minus Mr. Jones, who went up to Manhattan.
Oh, my poor Duke Blue Devils.
Wait, Mr. Jones went up to that New Amsterdam. That actually happened. Wait.
That's pretty good,
Dan. Hold on a second.
Wait a second.
Wait a minute.
Did Adam Duritz take over the NFL? What happened?
Did Counting Crows predict Daniel Jones to the Giants 25 years ago when he was – or 20, like, 2 years ago when he was born? Can we do some math? Okay. We just – that's an X-Files-esque – if we're
yeah,
not
Dan, are you the first person to just think of that?
I think I just did on the spot on my life.
All right. That's going to be a running theme in so much as we talk about NFL football.
Definitely doing the wrong thing for a living, for sure. Okay, moving on.
Do we need to talk about this one? We've seen Alabama destroy everyone. We've just seen them destroy much, much better teams and cover the spread in week one for years and years and years.
All right, lay it. Moving on. Now we're going to go to Northwestern at Stanford. That's an interesting game. Stanford laying 6.5. KJ Costello back for his 95th season this year. Is it? He's going to BYU after for grad school for sure. I can feel it. Northwestern scrappy, as you know. So sorry if I didn't say it. 6.5 total, 47.5. this is really tough to pick. I hate laying points in a game like this. David Shaw doesn't care about point spreads or points or any of this. I think this game's a complete stay away, but if you're a college football fan, I think you'll learn a lot about both teams in this game. So I recommend watching some of it if you can. You guys got a pick or anything on this?
No, it's perfectly said, Dan. It's exactly what I would have said. Don't bet it, but definitely watch it. It's an important game.
Where is this game?
Stanford.
All right, I'll take the Cardinals. Just a small cover. Northwestern is replacing a pretty good quarterback, and they're kind of in a rebuilding mode this year, where Stanford is basically, aside from Bryce Love, returning the quarterback and a bunch of other guys. So I think they'll be playing at a higher level early.
Yeah, I agree. All right, I'm going to send this one over to Ryan. Syracuse minus 17.5, like UConn. Same point spread, by the way, at Liberty. Go ahead, guys. Your team's hot.
Syracuse is going to murder them.
Yeah, man. This one hurts. This one hurts me personally in my soul. It's just because Hugh Freeze is the coach, right?
Yeah. Hugh Freeze is the coach, but Liberty is an evil, evil, evil place. So I am looking forward to Syracuse putting the absolute beat down on them, and we'll move on from that.
Yeah, I don't see why this spread is so close. I mean, Syracuse is a top 20 team that's on the way up, and Liberty is Liberty. So I really like this. This is my favorite pick of the week.
Okay, we might have to put some of our take the points money on this one this week.
I mean, Syracuse does have a new quarterback technically, but he's played. I mean, he's been around, so...
He's fine.
This is my lock of the week.
Okay. Good stuff. I'm going to throw this one out there. Boise State at Florida State. Florida State minus 4.5. This game 10 years ago would have been the biggest game of the week. This week, I almost skipped over it on take the points. I don't know what the Boise quarterback situation is. I think that guy finally left.
So they've announced it's the, I don't know his name, but the freshman will start.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the reason going cross country with a freshman QB is your reason for that spread.
Yeah. Florida State, I think, is a big question mark. This is going to sound awful. I think I really like Florida State in the spot. I think they really want to kick off this year with a better beginning, Boise, cross country, etc. I'm not betting it because I'm not betting Florida State this year, probably ever. But if I had to, I'd bet Florida State. And I know you guys hate it, so tell me why I'm wrong.
It's too many points. It's a coin flip game. It opened at 3. It should stay at 3.
There you go.
3 is the exact right number for this game. It's a total pick 'em, and I think 4.5 is too many.
Florida State has to prove it to us after last season, returning the same quarterback and the same coach. There's no reason until we see otherwise for us to believe in them. I'm not saying they won't be better or they might not – even be like pretty decent, but they have to show me first. So at gunpoint, which you might be on Florida State's campus, I would take the points with Boise.
Okay. Well, we're going to move on. Let's go down the list. We're going to skip past some of the traditional blowouts this year and not talk about why LSU minus 27 is good or bad. But we're going to keep going here. Just got to find the page. It refreshed on me. Might have to edit this, Tom. Put on some music here. Okay, we're back. Okay, here's one for you. Oregon at Auburn. Big game.
So this is my number one favorite game that I'm most excited to watch this year. Or not this year, this week.
Yeah, so is this one at the Jerry Dome or what's going on? Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's neutral.
Okay. Oregon's going with the freshman Auburn's going with the freshman quarterback, Bo Nix.
Son of Patrick.
That's right. Broke all the Alabama high school passing records. Enrolled early in January. Auburn fans hoping he's Trevor Lawrence too. He won't be, but they're still hoping he is. I mean, that's not a slight on him. Oregon, as you know, Herbert back, all five offensive linemen back. Offensive linemen already have, I think, about 150 combined starts throughout their career, which is pretty remarkable when you think about that number. Oregon just cannot finish a game to save their lives last year. It was really embarrassing. They blew a lot of leads. They are getting 3 points. Again, this game's really, really tough. Total in this game, 55 as well. Zero feel. And I know this is a killer, and I probably will bet this at some point, but I probably would take, like, Oregon money line. That would be my, like, favorite play. Just it's a coin flip, and you get probably, like, 135 or something on the money line on Oregon rather than take 2.5, 3 points. But hard game. Going to be really interesting years for both. A lot of expectations in Oregon. I think if I don't know. We'll see how Oregon plays out. We'll talk about them in a couple minutes. But, yeah, great game.
Ryan, do you have anything you want to add?
I'm not really. Dan kind of hit everything, every point on that. It's the 55 is, that is a tough number to pick either way. This opened at 6.5 and dropped all the way to 2.5. So that makes me kind of lean a little bit towards Oregon as well, like Dan.
College football is a funny sport because the players change over so often and the coaches, but you still get this kind of like historic shell shock. So I think Oregon makes sense on paper. They've got one of the best QBs in the country and the linemen and everything Dan said, but I do feel like we've seen this a million times in our lives where the Pac-12 team goes down to Texas or Florida or New Orleans or whatever to take on LSU or Auburn or Alabama, and they just get out physical to the extent where they just can't really compete. They end up losing by, 7 or 10 points. So I'm going to stay away. I don't know. I feel like Oregon probably is the pick, and especially I found it at 3.5 in some spots, which is nice. But I've seen too many of these Pac-12 teams, and a lot of the times it is Oregon themselves. I mean, I think, didn't they play Auburn like 10 years ago? And we had a fierce conversation about that one on Take the Points.
Well, they played in the national title game.
LSU is the game you were thinking of. That was with the Honey Badger.
Yeah. It was like the first game we ever talked about on Take the Points. Like first season, first episode. And I think it was like half the episode we're just debating that one. And then it like wasn't even really much of a game, you know? So I'm scared. I'm scared to pick a Pac-12 team going down south.
I don't blame you.
It just means more down there, Dan. I don't know if you've heard.
All right, Tom, we got two games left. We're going to Sunday. Yeah, is it Sunday? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sunday night football. This is a good one. 4:30 start out here in the West Coast. Houston travels to Oklahoma. Oklahoma laying 23.5 total. 82.5. I'm going to take this one, guys, right off the bat.
It's all you. I got no thoughts.
Okay. A lot of thoughts. What happened last year? FAU went on the road and played Oklahoma. We all loved FAU. We thought they'd be high-flying and be able to score enough points. We thought Mayfield was gone. Kyler Murray sucks. Yada, yada. Wrong. Oklahoma blowout. It was 28-0 in the first quarter. Fast forward to this year. They get Houston as the sacrificial team. Same-ish point spread, but a lot of key differences with this squad as opposed to last. First of all, Houston, everyone's last impression of them is playing Army in the bowl game where they got run off the field, especially on run defense. So that probably inflates this line a little bit. Second of all, you got the Holgorsen effect. He's had the whole offseason to prepare for Oklahoma. You know he is familiar with them because he's already been a coach in the Big 12 and plays them, knows their scheme. It's not like he transferred in from Appalachian State or something like that. Not knocking that, but it's just way easier. And also, just flat out, quarterback play. Mr. King is in Houston, coming back from his ACL. I think he's going to be just fine. I think he makes enough plays to cover the spread. Oklahoma, on the other side, gets Jalen Hurts in quarterback. Everybody thinks he's going to be unstoppable. If they run a passing offense, they will not be happy with the results, and they will be very stoppable. But if they run a power game with those two stud running backs and him, sky's the limit. So I still like Houston. I think they can score enough points. I think there's a lot of pressure on Hurts. I think there's no pressure on Houston. People expect nothing. The only thing people know about Houston's Ed Oliver. Shout out to your team. And now that he's gone, they think it's a blowout. But Mr. King's going to put on a show, and I would love for him to pull a shocker, beat this game, and throw 5 touchdowns for personal reasons. I may have bet him to win the Heisman. So we will talk about that later. Anyway, give me Houston the 23, one of my favorite picks of the week.
All right. It'll be hard for me to pull the trigger on that based on shell shock from last year, as you said. But, yeah, I think you've got to go that direction. High-scoring game.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this last game, and then we want a few minutes for season picks.
Last game, Notre Dame-Louisville. Notre Dame minus 20 points at Louisville. Anybody got anything?
Just a, like, ugh.
Here's what I got on this game. This game sucks, and that's because it's on. No, but seriously, I'm going to blame the NFL. It's a good seg into our everything else we want to do. It's on a Monday, therefore it's Monday Night Football, which means the NFL has ruined this game. So, fitting, Notre Dame and Louisville will be on. Two teams that underachieve in college football, yet send team players to the NFL. So fitting these two clown programs show up on Monday Night Football. You know what? What's the total? 55. Bet me under. There you go. There's your pick for Monday Night Football. Betting it and not watching it.
I can't get excited about this game. I don't know what it is. I mean, I think it's nothing to do with Notre Dame. It's Louisville. Like, you know, ever since the Lamar era, they've got nothing to offer me.
After Houston, Oklahoma on Sunday, I'm on to week 2.
Exactly. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Monday night, it's Labor Day, cookout, eat a hot dog. Don't watch Notre Dame. That's not America's
There's
team.
So much good football this weekend and coming up in the next several weeks. Like, you don't have to do that to yourself.
No.
All right, guys.
That concludes our pick segment. Tom, now it's all you.
Yeah, so only a few minutes left in the show. We got a little bit of a late start, but I do want to get just a general season picks from you guys, you know, playoff picks, Heisman pick if you want to make it, and then just tell me what I'm most interested in is, like, what is the, you know, two or three teams or players or coaches that you really are excited for or want to watch this year. So whoever wants to kick this off.
Sure. Yeah, I'll give it a go. So let's see here. Let's start with Heisman. That's Dan kind of just brought that up that he likes King. So for Heisman, I'm going to give you two picks. I'm going to give you my favorite pick and then my kind of long shot pick. So obviously the favorite pick is going to be Trevor Lawrence. I think he is clearly the best player in all of college football. However, I'm going to go back to the old school of the Alabama running back dominating the Heisman. And I'm also going to pick Najee Harris. I think you can get a lot of value on him. Listeners of Take the Points that know that I'm kind of the recruiting guy have been on him since he was in high school, like promoting his YouTube highlights on this podcast when he was still like 16. So I'm going to put a little sprinkle on him as well. As far as the playoff, I mean, obviously Alabama, Clemson, you got to kind of throw those two in there. But after that, I think it gets a little bit dicey. I think the Big Ten kind of sucks this year, and I don't think any of those teams are going to be worthy of a playoff spot. I think they're kind of beat each other. I think the Big 12 kind of sucks this year, and I don't think those teams are going to be worthy either. So I'm going to go ahead and put a second SEC team in with Georgia. And then for my fourth team, I'm going to come out to the West Coast. I'm going to try to make good with my boy John Smith for insulting him last season. And I'm going to take Utah as the fourth team in the playoff, throw it in there. And then just kind of as a fun little aside, the reason the Big 12 is out of the playoff is because I think Iowa State's going to win the Big 12. Putting that out there too. So throwing some shockers just to mix it up. You know, every year I throw a couple out there. 2 years ago, I had Georgia in the title game, and that happened with a freshman QB. Last year, I very, very badly picked Wisconsin to make the playoff and didn't realize Hornibrook was that bad. So I'm going to throw that out there. Excitement, Les Miles. Excited as hell to see Les Miles back in our lives.
Did you just call him Lex Miles?
Lex.
I like that better.
He's going to turn into Lex.
He sounded like,
He's turning into Lex Miles throughout the season.
Lex Luthor Miles.
When he goes full heel, yeah, that's the name.
And I'm excited to see the Graham Harrell era at USC. At some point, he will be the interim head coach. So excited to see that happen. I actually knew a girl a few years ago who went to high school with Graham Harrell. Said she used to tutor him in high school. So that's a little side note there. But yeah, I'm looking forward to getting him back in my life.
Are you want me to go? Okay, I have some bold predictions, and then I have some not so bold predictions. My question for you guys: if Clemson loses a game, they're still in the playoff, I assume. If they lose two games, you think they'd be in still?
No,
two lost teams never made it.
And their schedule won't be good enough. They'll be double-digit favorites in every single game. If you lose two games as double-digit favorites, it's a different story than being ranked fourth and losing at number two on the road, 29-28 or something like that.
Yeah, this has been my dilemma in trying to pick the playoffs. I think Clemson is going to I think they're going to struggle in a few games this year, having lost so much on defense. And not just a lot of players, but, you know, the number four pick, like two first round picks, I think, and a second round pick. They lost a lot, and it's going to matter, and they can't just outscore everyone every week. So I think there will be a couple games, especially early in September, that they're going to be vulnerable to lose. So I think they're going to get at least a loss, and I think there's potential for two. I am going to put them in the playoff just because, you know, I really couldn't think of a fourth team to put in over them. There's teams like Texas, Oregon, Utah. There's a lot of teams that are on the rise and are just very close, but I don't think they're quite there this year. And, you know, I agree with Oklahoma. I just think they're not quite there this year. So my playoff in whatever order is going to be Alabama, Georgia, the Ohio State University, and Clemson. And I guess, I don't know if this counts as a shocking pick, I think the University of Georgia is going to win the national championship this year.
Sure.
You got two awesome quarterbacks everyone's going to be focusing on in Tua and Lawrence. But there's a third guy, Jake Fromm, who's almost on that same level and who just keeps getting better and better every year. And I think this is his year. This is his breakout year to shine. I think they may lose to Alabama in the SEC championship game, you know, by a touchdown or whatever. But my prediction is actually going to be that Alabama loses. I forget how I had it organized, but I think it's going to be Ohio State meets Georgia in the national championship game. No Alabama, no Clemson, and Georgia wins it. As for a couple other bold predictions for Heisman, I think Lawrence and Tua are the obvious picks. If you want more of a dark horse, Justin Fields from Ohio State, I think, is going to have a real breakout year, and I think Ryan Day is going to be a very good coach, which is why I'm high on Ohio State, and because of the rest of the Big Ten's not that great. But also J.K. Dobbins, I think, from Ohio State. And Rondale Moore, my man from Purdue. Watch out for him to put up enormous numbers. So those are some picks. And then my number one pick that I'm most excited about is, I teased it earlier, but a big Phoenix moment is, I believe it's like early November, when the University of Southern California has to come to your guys' Arizona State University. And I think we're going to get a little recreation of the Lane Kiffin tarmac firing when Clay Helton is left in Arizona to rot in the desert after losing at Arizona State to Herm Edwards and being like, I don't know, 7-5 at that point, 6-4.
Yeah,
that's my bold pick. Clay Helton does not make it through the year and gets fired after the Arizona State game.
I like it.
Tom Z, I've known you, 30 years, man, 30 years. And I think that's about as similar of a prediction as me and you are ever going to have. So check this out. Bold predictions. Well, I'll tell you right now, I made a couple wagers. I bet UConn to win their conference at, 400-1? It was, so I got that in $2.50. I got UConn under 2.5 wins, though. I hedged that out.
You took under 2.5 and to win the conference.
Under 2.5 and to win the conference. I don't feel like a 5-5 season's in play here.
They're absolutely finishing 3-10 now that you did that.
Most likely, Tom. Can't wait to lose both. All right, so serious predictions. Heisman, I bet King, and I bet Fromm. Those are my two picks. I think I got Fromm at like 16-1 or something like that. As for the playoff and teams, I think Alabama does not make the playoff this year. I think Tua's style leads to injuries and turnovers, and it's actually not what is ideal for Alabama, as crazy as it sounds. He's going to be a better pro than a college player, if that's going to sound even possible. But Alabama, not in the playoff. Your final four for the playoff: Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, and Texas. I think the committee with one loss, Texas, is going to find a way to stuff them in there. They'll give them millions of dollars. I just am trying to find a fourth team, honestly, outside of Alabama. It's really tough. And my national champion is the Georgia Bulldogs with Jake Fromm winning the Heisman. I saw a tweet from a sports writer that said, this is the best Georgia team in 35 years. And the guy covers Georgia every single day. And, like, based on, like, if you look at numbers from last year and our man Phil Stills preview, like, you know exactly how Georgia's going to perform. Like, they're going to win games like 45-17 just constantly. They're a machine. They have the best offensive line in the country. They have a quarterback that's pissed off and feels underrated. They have a coach who's pissed off and really feels like he can get it done. And Clemson, you're right, Tom. They're not the same team. They lost too much defense, captains, heart, character, things like that. Clemson's going to struggle. That offense is going to be good enough to get them out of situations. And we saw this in our past, too. We saw this with those Oregon teams in the 2000s. Like, they would have nobody back on defense. We're like, don't worry about it. We'll outscore them. And then, like, you know, it's 21-0 in the first half. We're like, shit, we got to come back, which they did. But they never covered those games. So be careful laying giant point spreads with Clemson, especially on the road. You're going to see a lot of, like, 28s. Like, they'll be laying 27.5 at, like, NC State or something. And it's going to be stupid. Overall, Georgia, Fromm, I bet Houston to win the division, or the conference, or whatever, the conference. Georgia, national champions this year, and then all hell breaks loose next year. Just craziness.
Yeah, and the transfer portal has made things crazy too. But if Fromm can beat out, I mean, if he can make Eason transfer to Washington, and he can make Fields transfer to Ohio State, like, he, you know, he must be pretty damn good. So I think this is the year. And they've got a freshman receiver who's supposed to be like the next, you know, this year's Justin Ross, like, breakout freshman receiver. So big things.
I'm very excited.
All right. So the Take the Points podcast officially endorses the Georgia Bulldogs and the Utah Utes out west. All right. We're trying to keep the podcast a little shorter this year. So we really only have about a minute or two. But Dan, you're going to get the closing word today. NFL, Andrew Luck, whatever you want to talk about, you have the last word.
Thanks, Tom. A lot of people giving Andrew Luck some shit about retiring as an NFL player and letting down his fan base, his teammates, people that trained, thought they were going to win a title or anything like that. Anybody who thinks that is a complete fucking idiot and has no right to think anything like that. You get your own life to live. No one should tell you how to do anything else. This guy is a millionaire. He grew up a millionaire. He's always going to be a millionaire. He's smart enough to realize that. He has other dreams and ambitions in life besides playing a stupid fucking game on Sundays. You know, he's into architecture. He wants to pursue that. People should endorse that and applaud that. Instead, you get people going, I bought season tickets. This isn't fair. I don't want to watch Jacoby Brissett. Well, like, who cares, man? If you really like football that much, then you'll enjoy the whole experience of going to the game. If you really just care about wins and losses that much, then find something else to do with yourself on Sunday. Learn to play the piano. Learn Spanish. Do something. It really, like, struck a nerve with me when people got mad. And then when the fans booed him off the field, The NFL is just completely a waste of everybody's time. Nobody should watch the sport at this point. I mean, I know it sounds a bit extreme. On a comedic level, they continue to piss me off. One thing I've really started, me and Ryan both, over the past couple of years, really started watching a ton of European soccer. And this past weekend, very big game, Liverpool playing Arsenal on TV everywhere. Can't miss it. 9:30 a.m., biggest game of the weekend in like all of Europe. And the game's blacked out on local TV because Cards Vikes is on another channel and they got to like show the preseason game. Like, this is real. So that game wasn't on TV. NFL just continually is horrible. You got people getting injured in the preseason. You got people fighting over helmets. You got guys getting in three ways and getting their jewelry getting stolen. You got Jay-Z signing, trying to smooth stuff out. You got Eric Reed calling people names, and Eric Reed goes out and plays a preseason game and dirty hits someone, tries to knock him out for the year. It's just scumbags on top of scumbags on top of scumbags. Give up Sundays. Spend it with your church or your family or whatever you want to do, or both or neither. I don't care. Just don't watch this stuff for 10 hours. You'll be a happier person. I really assure you.
College football has never been better, and the NFL has never been worse, and we say it every year, and the inequities keep on growing. So we got to end it there. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Tune in next week. We'll probably be on Thursday or later in the week next week. But, you know, subscribe in iTunes or Stitcher or wherever, and you'll get it when it's out.